Welcome to Central Life Church. We hope you enjoyed today's message. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.
Have a seat. Oh, thank you, Jesus. These guys are great, aren't they? You've done a great job today. God is doing new things in this place, and I'm really excited about that. Things get exciting when I see BB with his hanky in the air. When that's happening, you know the Spirit's moving. And the Lord dropped into me this morning, and me, myself, and I were having a chat in bed this morning, and we're having a good old chinwag with the Lord. And he dropped these few words into my spirit this morning, and I believe it's for us as a church, but I also believe it's for you, Ray, because Ray is going to come up and give the word this morning. And it's in Matthew chapter 8, where Jesus comes down from the mountain to heal the leper, and the leper asks a question, and he asks the question, "Are you willing, Lord, to heal me?" And Jesus' response was, "I am willing. I am willing to do it again. We are going to see it again. You are going to see it again." You may not see it right now, but we're seeing the glimpses of it. Freedom in the house. Joy in the house, God moving through this place, and I'm quietly excited. It's a dull roar at the moment, but I'm excited to see what God's going to do again in all of us, but especially Ray today. Hip hip hooray, Ray. This is the day for Ray. He is the way, the truth, the life. We're talking about Jesus. Let's pray. Ray, I didn't mean to make this an introduction to you, but I've just really felt God was saying to us, "I am willing." Ray. A hand as he comes.
Good on you. Well done. Well, if that's true, if that scripture is true, if what this guy over here, we're not going to stone him for being a false prophet. How about we stand together and we just pray for each other? So let's stand and let's find somebody near you. And if you're really comfortable with this, that's good. If you're not comfortable, that's okay. Still do it. And find somebody near you to stretch out, put your hand on their shoulder, ask permission if you need to, and just pray the blessing of God into them. Just spend some time praying the presence of the King of Heaven. Now, don't be afraid. Don't be shy. Find somebody near you that isn't getting prayed for and pray for them. Holy Spirit, we just say more of you. More of you in our presence. We just ask for the greater measure. The greater measure. We just say increase. Just the increase. Just the increase of your presence to be upon us. And we say more and more and more. Fill them up, Lord. Fill them up to know more and more of your presence. Thank you, Father. Thank you. You are generous in what you give to us. And we just say increase. Just the increase. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. There's more and more and more and more. Thank you, Jesus. Fill them up, Lord. Fill them up. Fill them up. Fill them up. Greater measure. Greater measure. Greater measure. More and more. Just of you, Father. More of you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. That's good. That's good. More and more, Lord. More and more. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Rosie, come here. I just felt as though the Lord was speaking to me during worship. And see, the church is the prophetic symbol to the world of the kingdom of God. See, what happens in the body of Christ is a reflection to the world of what is happening in the kingdom. And I just felt this morning for Rosie as she was, it was just the Spirit of God came on her, and there was just this joy of the Lord came upon her. It's just this measure. It's the measure of what is happening in the kingdom itself. And so we just thank you, Father, for her. We just say more and more, Father. We just ask for the increase, of the Spirit of God. Just more and more and more. More and more. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. See, it's the expression of the kingdom when the Spirit of God comes. See, when he comes to add flavor to our dull bit of meat. That's good, isn't it? I'll have to write that down. Write that down for me, will you? See, when he comes, there's this expression of the kingdom. Thank you, Jesus. You say, more, Lord. Fill him up, Lord. Fill him up. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Lord, I just thank you, from his belly flows rivers of living water. Lord, I thank you that you've made him to be, as it were, a spokesperson for the kingdom of God. And so, Father, from his feet to the top of his head, we just ask, Father, in the name of Jesus. There it is. Thank you, Jesus. So it's the kingdom. And it's when you see the sense of the kingdom, you understand what it'll be like in its fullness. You see, when you see the sense of the kingdom, understand what it'll be when God comes in his fullness. I remember a lady came to me, and she could barely lift her arm from that position. Don't get up, Rosie. Lord, just more. More. Like that. She couldn't lift her arm. And she was struggling with that because of all the things that she needed to do. And we simply laid our hands on her, and in the name of Jesus we said, shoulder, come back into normality in Jesus' name. And there was just this beautiful, she just lifted up the arm just went right up above her head, and it was the symbol of the presence of what happens in the kingdom of God. See, I was going to talk about something this morning and it's got sidetracked, but it's okay. Would you turn with me in Matthew? If you've got a Bible and you can still read, would you turn with me in Matthew's Gospel, around about chapter 4? Rosie, in all seriousness, I think the Lord has said to me, to you, to be aware that you are, as it were, a beacon for people to see what the kingdom of God can be like. And that's nothing to do with you in that context. It's to do with the one who is in you. The one who is in you. In Matthew chapter 4, we read these couple of words. Chapter 4, where Jesus begins to preach. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he returned to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived at Capernaum, which was by the lake of the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through... Both Luke and Matthew start their account of Jesus showing that he was a prophetic fulfillment of what had been spoken about in the Old. And here he says, in the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea along the Jordan, sea of the Gentiles, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. Those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. It was talking about Jesus coming, and suddenly, as it were, there was a spotlight. Where we live at Berkeley Vale, Leslie and I keep trying to figure it out, but there's spotlights at Mingara, spotlights down at Corrobor Oval. We can never, and I think there's also spotlights at Adelaide Street in that oval there. We're always trying to work out which one it is, but when they turn on the lights for football practice, you've got this clear beam of light that comes. And when Jesus came, as Matthew talks about there, he's saying that he came to be a light to those struggling in life. I think all of us have been in a situation where either our children or maybe ourselves, maybe it's Keith living in a tent, where during the night you can hear noises, you don't know what it is. You can see things on the wall, you don't know what they are. But when the daylight comes, you can see exactly what was there. And see, in the scriptures, it makes us clear in the Psalms, it makes it very clear that creation speaks of the glory of God. Is that true? Creation speaks of it, but it's only a shadow of what happened when Jesus came. See, when we see in creation just the glory of the King, when we see Jesus, the light becomes so intense and bright that you see things that were hidden for years. And so it is that John picks up later on and records the words of Jesus, so we're left in no doubt. Where Jesus in John chapter 8, he says these words, he said, I am, one of the many I ams, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have, say after me, will have the light of life. See, when Jesus came, he made it clear that he was light. And he was light that they had never been seen in the world before. By the way, there's going to be a hook in a minute, so just watch out. You're ready. And so whenever we see Jesus in action, we're actually seeing a strong beam of light shining on things that we've never might have seen before. Who's ever moved house and you've had to move the fridge out from behind? What's usually behind the fridge? Rubbish. Oh, there's my spare undies. I've been looking for them for ages. As I get behind the fridge. And so when you actually take that away, suddenly the dirt or whatever it is revealed. When Jesus came, because he was pure light, when he walked into the room, things were shown that had been hidden and couldn't have been seen for ages. I knew I'd get into trouble from Anthony if I didn't use myself as an example. So I brought my little torch. Otherwise I'd be in strife. One day Jesus went into a temple, into a synagogue, actually. The synagogue was in Capernaum. And remember, these people had come to the synagogue regularly. And they heard, nose is red, they heard the teachings of men. And people had been able to sit there and stand in the light that was actually shining. It was truth. It was truth. One day Jesus came and spoke. And he ended up, whoops, with this bright, shining light that came. And there's this man who'd been in the synagogue many times. He was a respectable man, possibly. He was a good Jewish man. And he was sitting there and Jesus just started to speak. And this shaft of light, as Jesus spoke, penetrated something in him that dull light had never exposed. And bedlam broke out. Because suddenly from deep within this man, this voice spoke and said, "Who are you, Jesus of Nazareth, to come and torment us?" This demonic voice had been exposed by this shaft of light when Jesus came. See, when Jesus came, when he comes, this light is greater than any other light. Moses, don't ignore it. The scriptures, you can't ignore it. But when Jesus came, he put a color, an intensity of light, so that that which was hidden for years suddenly became exposed. And this man who had this demonic presence in him, when Jesus came into the room, things get uncomfortable. When Jesus turns up, things happen. And this guy, he was a respectable guy possibly in the city, and suddenly he was rolling around the floor, uttering these words to Jesus, and Jesus in an instant said, "Be gone." By the way, Jesus never leaves you in your despair. He always relieves you from that situation. When Jesus comes into the room, things change. Because you get a picture of what heaven is really like. And you get a picture of what God is really like. Jesus went down to the water. He was teaching the people, and there were so many people that were just pushing against him. And he hopped into this boat of a fisherman called Peter. Pushed a bit out of the water and was teaching. And then he said to Peter, "Peter, just go out and put your nets down and catch some fish." And he said, "Oh, we've been fishing all night. Fishing all night, but because you said it, we'll do it." And they pushed the boat out. They put the net down. You know the story. They took an enormous catch of fish. And a shaft of light struck Peter square between his eyes. Ever seen a rabbit when you're driving at night and it's right in your headlights and it can't move? Peter was like that. Suddenly he was confronted by pure truth. Nobody said anything to him, but suddenly he saw in him all the gunk, all the rubbish, all the destructive stuff within his life. And he said, "Lord, go from me. I am a sinful man." And what did Jesus do? Did he leave him in his sorrow? No, he didn't. He actually said to him, "Peter, don't be afraid. I'm going to make you a fisher of men." See, when Jesus walks into the room, when his light penetrates the darkness, stuff happens. We pray for revival. I think that's great. We should. But when he comes in his power, Leslie and I had the privilege, and I'm sure some of you also had the privilege of going to, we went to Toronto when the renewal, revival, whatever you'll call it, was occurring at Toronto. And the presence of God was so thick that you didn't have to speak to anybody about anything particularly. It's just something was transacting within their spirit because God had come. And so you had some people just overwhelmed with the joy of the Lord because they saw the beauty and the grace and the love of the King of Heaven. Other people were on the floor, they were weeping on the floor. They were weeping because this shaft of life, without anybody saying anything, the shaft of life touched within their lives hurt and destruction that occurred to them. There had been abuse in their life and suddenly it was just opened up and the Spirit of God came and the Spirit of God just ministered through the life of Christ into that person's life. There was other people flipping and flopping on the floor because Jesus himself had revealed the dark spot that needed to go. When we look at Jesus as the light, we have to remember he is a prophetic revelation of what the Father is like and what the kingdom of God is like. See, when we look at Jesus and we see his pure light, he shows us in his words, in his actions, as we read the scripture, what it is about the kingdom of heaven and what it is about his Father. So much so that when Philip said to him later on, show us the Father, that's enough for us. And he said, haven't you been with me all this time and haven't you known? If you have seen me, seen my words, seen my deeds, you've actually seen the Father. See, it's interesting in that John passage. In John chapter 8. Let's listen to these words. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. There is something about following Jesus, and there's a supernatural transaction between heaven and earth. And between earth. That means you are then empowered to constantly walk, that you don't have to walk in darkness anymore. And you don't have to walk in uncertainty anymore. Because he has shone his light into you. What time do I finish? 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock? 4. That's all right. I'll be good. I'll be very good. There's a football final on tonight, isn't there? I'll be very good. Can I just say this thing? From what Jesus said, if you struggle with uncertainty, it's not the will of the Father for you to be there. If you struggle with uncertainty and unsureness, it's not where the Lord wants you. Because he said once he shines into your life, once the light has come, once you start following the light, you no longer have to be concerned of uncertainty or darkness. I just felt the Lord was saying, somebody here, there is uncertainty that rules in your life. Uncertainty about whether he loves you, whether he accepts you. Uncertainty about whether you're doing it right. Can I say that's not the voice of your Father? The voice of your father is this. I have shined the light of my son into your life that you'll be able to walk in certainty and life. Let me just illustrate quickly what I mean when I say Jesus is a prophetic statement of God and the kingdom of God. And then we'll move on to finish off. See, when I, just something, next time you're reading the gospel, just listen to this carefully. Next time you're reading the gospel, Luke's gospel, don't read it to find out what you should be doing and changing your behavior, but rather read it to see a reflection of heaven and what Father's like. When you read the scripture, you don't look at that as a textbook to say, what do I have to do next? But when you read the gospel, look at it and read the scripture as a revelation of Father in heaven and of his kingdom. Let me give you an example. There was a hell of a noise in the marketplace. Jesus was there teaching, and these guys were dragging this woman into the presence of Jesus. We caught her in the very act of adultery. What are you going to do? Well, the religious spirit would say this. Obviously, she should die. The religious spirit today would say, don't commit adultery, which is true. What do we see Jesus doing? What's the Father showing in that situation? And you know the story, where it got to the point where he said to the woman, I don't condemn you. Go away and don't sin again. Can I say, just a little glimpse of my Father in heaven, your Father in heaven. So when Jesus came, he was not scared of the darkness. He ran into the darkness. He wasn't scared of the darkness. He actually came to take people from the darkness and pull them out and to restore them again into full light. We see Jesus going through the marketplace. People everywhere to be healed. People with demonic forces operating in their life being set free. We can take that as a model for praying for the sick. It's good. Do it. But look at the eyes of the Father through Jesus. What the heaven, kingdom of heaven, is like in its fullness. It's a place where there is no longer sickness. It's a place where there's no longer oppression. There's a place where my Father in heaven has made all things right. Somebody once said to me, it's much easier to believe about Jesus than believe and do what he says. Because in Matthew chapter 5, in verse 14, after I've just convinced you that Jesus is the light of the world, Jesus now says, you are the light of the world. There's the hook. He's just convinced me that Jesus is the one who shines pure light so people see the Father and see the nature of the kingdom of heaven. And now Jesus has gone and ruined the lot. And he says, you are the light of the world. What a bummer. suddenly we're drawn into the situation where now it says here, therefore, don't let your light go and be hidden. There is something there which is saying to the body of Christ, Jesus was a prophetic statement to the world. This is what my Father's like. This is what the kingdom of God is like. When he went to Lazarus, who was in the tomb, and he raised him from the dead, he was giving a prophetic statement. It was good for Lazarus, he was raised from the dead. But he was giving a prophetic statement. In my Father's kingdom is life. And then he says to us, you are the light of the world. Did you sign up for that? I don't know. Well, I signed up to believe in Jesus, to have myself saved and all my sins washed and cleansed. And I saved up for that. But did I sign up to be the light of the world as well? And the answer is yes, because they go together. See, I love this. I love this so much. It's great. Isn't it? See, you have this transaction at the cross where Jesus comes and completely and utterly forgives us. And then he comes and fills us with his Spirit so there can be light. He puts a flame in our spirit, in our hearts. The Holy Spirit comes and fills the people of God so there's a light within them so they can be shining as the light of heaven. You are to be, the church is to be. There's only one church, you know that already. We've worked that one out. But the church is to be a prophetic statement to the world. This is what Father's like. This is what the kingdom of God is like. That's why Jesus is saying, don't fight amongst yourselves, love each other. Because this is what the kingdom's like. Be a prophetic statement to the world. When I got a bit of a heart for the Philippines. I think it's because I've been there a couple of times on trips. We're in this, everybody meets in the basketball stadium, don't they? They go to the basketball stadium. In the villages, always got a basketball stadium. You have a meeting, go to the basketball stadium. And we're in the basketball stadium and there was this mass of people come for prayer. And there was this group of people, there must have been five or six people, around about this one woman. And everybody was praying and this guy was praying for her. And suddenly there was this shout of joy and delight. This woman had been mute from birth. She had never spoken before in her life. And suddenly she started to say, Jesus. She started to speak of the kingdom of God. There's a picture. There's a picture there of what God is like. He restores. He recovers people. I wish I'd followed my notes. It would be much better, wouldn't it? Excuse me. Just be patient. That was a good point. I didn't make that, did I? Just the naughty point. I'm sorry. Anybody old enough like me to remember that song, Jesus bids us shine with a pure, clear... I reckon that's a rotten song. I try to get my light to be pure and it's never worked. My wife's laughing because she knows it's true. Let me say this. Yeah, I'm going to finish shortly, I promise. If we see God's, this is important, if we see God's light coming to make us better moral people, then we expect our light to shine to make other people better moral people. If we see Jesus came to show his life to show us the king and the kingdom, then when our light shines, its one purpose is to show Father and his kingdom. That makes sense? Did you write it down? Yes, remembered it, did you? I'll ask you about it later on to see if you remembered it. Get the tape. You know. See, there's something about this body, everybody on the coast, that's part of Jesus' body. You are uniquely positioned and gifted to be a light to this world. You are uniquely crafted by the Spirit of God to show the Father and to show what the kingdom's like. You take worship this morning. Not setting you up, sorry, I'm not even intending to do that. But you take worship anywhere. It is a picture of what it will be in the kingdom. It's a prophetic statement. You are a prophetic people. When I say that, I don't mean that you actually have to stand up and say, thus saith the Lord. But your life and your actions show what it is will be like in the kingdom. Your presence is heaven to me. When we stand in the presence of the King, the world will see something of the kingdom. Let's finish off with Isaiah 60. Isaiah 60. Did I preach long enough to get my salary? We'll double it. I'll keep going. I'll get quadruple. Isaiah chapter 60. Let's finish off in Isaiah 60. If you want to know what I was going to really preach about, you can borrow my notes and find out. See, the reason the religious people hated Jesus is because when he spoke, light shined into them and they hated what they saw. And because they hated what they saw, they had two choices: go with Jesus or go away. At present, there's the president of the Philippines. What's his name, this guy in the Philippines? Do you remember his name? The president. Yeah. He's a nasty man. Sorry. He's a nasty. Is he? Do you agree? He comes from India now. He's a nasty man. He compared himself to Adolf Hitler. He intends to kill all the drug smugglers to put them to death. The rumour is it's just a very polite way of getting rid of all his political enemies. That is religion, not the gospel. See, religion is very exclusive. The gospel is very inclusive. And I struggle with that. The religion sets up who we accept. The gospel says, this is what my Father's like, who accepts all who will come. Isaiah 60 says this: arise, shine, for your light has come. Guess what? The light has come to you. Put your hand up if you believe in Jesus. He's your Lord, his Saviour. Guess what? Your light has come. and the glory of the Lord rises on you. There is something about you that is unique because you've been crafted by the Spirit of God. You've been gifted with hospitality. You've been gifted with healing ministry. You've been gifted as evangelist. Altogether, you are involved in showing and opening what your Father in heaven is really like and what the kingdom of God is like. Before my brother over here breaks into too much song, I'll just finish off by saying this. Never be afraid of the darkness. Jesus ran into it. Never establish yourself as being acceptable because you've got a moral code and your light will shine brighter. Your light shines because God has come. Pray for revival, but realize already in you, light is shining. Pray for the Lord to come in power, but be aware that already his glory, his light, is in you for one reason, to show the Father and to show his kingdom. And regardless of what we do in world, that's what shines from us. Has somebody got a sore right knee? Is it? Yeah. One person only? Anybody else sore right knee? A couple of people. Yeah. I just, in the prayer room, I just was aware of this pain in my right knee. Anybody in pain right now with that right knee? It really is pain right now. Yourself? Okay, that's good. We're going to pray for you because the kingdom of God says, let's pray. You've got a right knee problem as well, have you? And you have as well. Sorry? Well, forget it. We're not going to pray for you. I need some people to gather around these ones. Put your hands up again if you've got that sore just in your right knee. God's going to heal you. Can a couple of people gather around? Come on, you're big and strong. You can do this. It's really good. It's really exciting because you can see God working. Now, listen, can I just say something before you start praying? Don't make this a religious exercise. What I'd like you to do is simply ask the Spirit of God to come and command healing for the knee. That's what I want you to do because that's what Jesus did. Just pray. Off you go. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we speak to these knees in the name of Jesus, and we just command healing in Jesus' name. All pain to go in Jesus' name. Complete reconstruction when necessary. Father, for Tyler's knees, just reinforce the ligaments, the strengthening the muscles in the leg, in the joints. Heal those joints that have been damaged in Jesus' name. Amen? Okay, those people who had your hands up, could you test it out and see if it feels any better? Let me know what happens. Just try it out. If you feel as though you've had a healing, just put your hand up. Is it better? Come out here and tell us about it. That'd be really good. You've got a mic? We can actually ask a question. Out you come. Sorry, I don't know your name.
Mel.
Mel? Yeah. Hi, Mel.
Hi.
What's happened?
It just feels like I can bend it better.
Okay. Yeah. Could you bend it before?
I could bend it, but it hurt.
Okay, but there's no pain there now?
No.
All gone? All gone? Thank you, Jesus. Don't go away. Mel, don't go away. Come back. You never get out of here cheaply. Who else has got pain in their knee that hasn't been healed yet? Anybody else? Oh, everybody's been healed. What's going on? How's your knee? It's good. As you would, not quite. Okay, go and help over here and pray.
That way.
Yeah. Okay. Hands on, keep praying. That's good. Okay. Anybody else need healing prayer? Put your hand up. Anybody else need some healing prayer? Just put up your hand. Yeah, fine. A couple of people. Okay, can somebody gather around these people? One, two. Ask specifically what they want healing prayer for. Ask them, what do you need prayer for? Now, you need to ask, what do you want prayer for? Somebody else here? Keith, can you go? Go on, please. A couple of people. What do you need prayer for? Okay, now remember, pray specifically for that issue. Don't be. Speak to it and command healing. How's your knee?
Well, my back's good and my knee's good. Everything's good.
Hey, I'm glad you came to church.
Yeah.
Just as well, we'll charge you more. Just there. Okay, ask how it's going. Speak to them, ask them, how is there any change? They may not be able to notice any change, but ask them if there is a change. If they can't describe a change, that's fine. Just trust Jesus. He is healing.
God's good. Yes? Can we give Ray a hand this morning? He's just ministered a little bit of heaven. And can we give the Lord a hand this morning? Yeah? The one who we worship. So keep this going. It doesn't stop just here. It keeps going. Because you are the light. You are the salt and the light. So Jesus' last words were, go. There you go. So go. We're going to go and have a cup of tea and coffee. God bless you. Great to see you again. And we'll see you next week for more. Amen? Awesome. Take it out.
Thank you for joining us today. Central Life Church is an Australian independent church meeting at Unit B5, 4 Dalmerston Avenue, North Wyong, New South Wales. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.